Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. On Saturday, more than 700 marches and rallies were organized across the country to protest the separation of families at the border. WMNF's Rob Lori reports there were more than 3,000 people rallying in Joe Chalura Courthouse Square in downtown Tampa. We're going to hear segments from several of the speeches from Tampa recorded by WMNF's Yvonne Goujalet, and we're going to take your phone calls. Sometimes I don't get to as many phone calls today. Hopefully I will hear from a lot of you who are there in Tampa or in Gulfport or in Spring Hill or in Dade City or wherever you attended the rallies. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. But first I want to play a quick listener comment. After last week's show, that was about a new Union of Concerned Scientists report that looked at coastal flooding projections and how that affects economic concerns like property values, insurance premiums, and the tax base. Here's one listener comment.
Hey, Sean. This is Dave. I am calling in response to your June 25th program on sea level rise and climate change. That was an interesting program, and I think it's worth knowing that President Trump last August actually rolled back in 2015 executive order by President Obama that toughened building standards in flood zones. So he's actually making it easier to build in areas that are going to be inundated by rising sea level. And that, in combination with your report on the program, that the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration is now taking climate out of its mission, I think gives you a pretty good idea of where our federal government's going right at this moment. And I think it's also worth noting in all of this that it's time for us to stop worrying about what Donald Trump tweets on a daily basis and all the nonsense that's happening in press briefings and arguments on television. And we should start focusing on the actual brass tacks of policy and what they're doing up there and how it's going to affect us, regardless of what's being said. Because a lot of what's being said is a lie. Keep your eye on the ball. Thank you.
Well, that was one listener commenting about our last show. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail, and we'll play it next week. You can always listen to previous shows and comment on the stories on our website. That's WMNF.org/news. That show is up there about the sea level rise if you'd like to listen to it again or watch it. We had streamed it live on Facebook last week. You can also join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. Well, I want to give out the number again because I do want to hear from you during this show, 813-239-9663, dj@wmnf.org. If you'd like to email, you can text 813-433-0885. Make sure you leave your name and a town where you're calling from so that I can say that on the air when I read your text. On Saturday, more than 700 marches and rallies were organized across the country to protest the separation of families at the border. We're going to hear some audio from Gulfport, some audio from Tampa. And I want to hear what you think. Were you at one of the rallies? I got emails this morning with photos of rallies in Dade City and in Spring Hill. There was a fiery talk from a Pinellas County School Board member at a rally in Gulfport. What did you think? 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Here's some audio that our reporter Yvonne Goujalet brought us from the Tampa rally, where it was organized by more than 20 local groups. And here are two Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals recipients, or DACA recipients. The man you'll hear is Leo Dulanto, and the woman is Yulisa Reynal. And among other things, they criticized the Florida-based private prison company, Geo Group. We'll take your calls in just 5 minutes after we hear this sound.
Thank you. My name is Leo, and I'm a DACA recipient from Peru. And we're both part of mixed-status families. So I feel personally connected to this issue, this crisis, because the fear of deportation connects us. The fear of not seeing my family again connects us. The fear of losing absolutely everything I have here connects us. But also because our resilience connects us. Mental health sometimes takes a backseat in our stories and fear that it might have, it might hurt the narrative. As a DACA recipient, I've experienced trauma, and I've witnessed violence. I suffered from PTSD, and have fought suicidal tendencies my whole life. Living here as an immigrant is traumatic enough, but with what the families at the border are experiencing, is cruelty and torture. This crisis is part of a bigger picture. Mass incarceration and separation of our communities have all been created by corporations and paid politicians.
These private prison companies have been lobbying to keep our communities in prison and detention centers, profiting off our bodies. GEO Group is the second largest for-profit prison and immigration detention company. They are based here in our state right now in Boca Raton. They profit from putting our black and brown communities in cages, and it's time we expose them and the politicians that facilitate this cycle. GEO Group gets paid by the state to cage people in their facilities and then make more profit off forced labor. GEO Group contributes to politician campaigns from both Democrat and Republican parties and pays lobbyists to influence the government. Legislators then create harder on crime and immigration laws to cage and dehumanize our communities. Black people and immigrants get separated from their families, locked up, and put into GEO private prisons and detention center. This cycle must stop. Florida spends $2.3 billion taxpayer money every year on incarceration. This is the direct result of GEO Group lobbying to politicians. GEO Group generates at least $122 million annually from Florida alone. The 700 beds at the Federal Broward Transitional Center, which is owned by GEO and managed for ICE, generates $20 million a year.
Florida politicians take more money from private prison lobby than any other state in the country. Our own governor, Greg Scott, has taken more than $718,000 and $150,000 this year alone. Ashley Moody is a Republican candidate running for Attorney General here in Tampa. She has taken GEO money and is endorsed by 37 sheriffs across the state and our current Attorney General, Pam Bondi. We need to demand better out of our politicians and the people that represent us. We need to make sure that our elected officials and candidates sign the Freedom Pledge. The pledge to never take money for NRA and the GEO Group. And if you ever have, to donate it back to the community. We need to use this to hold our people accountable, our politicians accountable.
We need to demand Ashley Moody and Rick Scott to stop taking money from GEO Group and other private prison company out there. We must put a stop to this cycle. ICE was created in 2003 and has done nothing but terrorize our communities since then. They have damaged our lives, and it's time we abolish ICE.
The youth all over Florida have created a visionary agenda called the Freedom Papers. This is their vision for the future of Florida, and it should be our collective vision from now on. One of our freedoms, freedom of movement. By virtue of being born, each of us have the absolute right to find adequate housing, working, food, water, and a more full life. Alternatively, every person has the right to stay in their home should they choose to. Immigration is not a crime. None of us should be forced to move or forced to stay just to satisfy the greed of corporations who are waging war against our communities for a profit. It uproots our lives and destroys our families and communities. People have always had the right to move if they need to and stay if they need to. This right doesn't end today. This to move is to free, is to be free. To stay and have the right to return home is to be free. Thank you.
Well, that was Leo Dulanto and Julissa Reynal, and they are two Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals recipients, DACA, and they were criticizing the Florida-based private prison company GEO Group, and they called out by name some politicians running in Florida. They were speaking on Saturday in Tampa at a rally, the Families Belong Together rally in downtown Tampa. Were you there, or were you at one of the other rallies? We'd like to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. What was the mood there at your rally, and what were your favorite speeches, and what were some of the signs you liked? 813-239-9663. We're going to move now to hear a little bit more. This is Norma Henning. She is an immigration lawyer. She's an immigrant from Germany, and so is now considers herself a German-American. She works for CARE Florida, the Council on American-Islamic Relations. And this is what Norma Henning had to say at the rally in Tampa on Saturday. Thanks to Yvonne Goujolet for this audio. And we do want to hear from you, 813-239-9663.
Hello, and thank you for German American. I've come to the United States 30 years ago, and I'm here to stand in solidarity with the immigrant community on behalf of also the Council of American Islamic Relations. And the quote earlier that was spoken from Pastor Niemöller is so something that I live by. First they came for all these other groups, and then they're going to come for you eventually. And I come from a country where the fascism devastated us, and America saved us from fascism. And now we are here, and I have to explain to people why walls are a really terrible idea. We have a lot of experience with walls. Come talk to a German. We'll tell you about our experience with walls. The policy of choice that are being enacted by this administration are choices. These are gratuitously cruel policies that are being used on the backs of the most vulnerable, the people who are fleeing violence, who are coming to the United States, which I still believe is the greatest, one of the greatest countries on the earth. I have to couch that because I'm from Germany. But, you know, the Muslim community, after the Muslim ban had been basically upheld by the Supreme Court, we're devastated. We have people who are separated, families who are separated, husbands from wives, mothers from children, who would like to come to the United States to live here. The court went through great lengths to say, oh, you know what, there is a waiver procedure. People who are no threat to the United States can apply for waivers. Hundreds of these waivers have been applied for. Two have come through. Basically, the waiver applications go straight into the garbage bin. There is no meaningful way to get this travel ban waived, even for people who are no threat to the United States of America. So I believe that it's time for grandmothers like me to come out here and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is not America. We are told that we are supposed to fear our neighbors. Fear our Mexican neighbors. I mean, the slur, I'm not going to repeat here what has been said about the Hispanic community from the highest office in the United States that we're then supposed to believe has no bias. I am not going to repeat what has been said about Muslims from the highest office in this country. The American people are upset. This is not America. This is, you know, historically, I mean, as we heard earlier, it is America. But this is not who we are anymore. This needs to be shed. Previous administrations, and I hear this all the time, well, it's the law. We are just enforcing the law. It is not the law to separate families. It is not, and yes, maybe it's a misdemeanor to be here, you know, undocumented, but previous administrations have found a way around these cruel policies with waivers, with stays of deportation. Let's talk about Luis Blanco from Plant City, who has been here, father of a large family, who was the sole breadwinner for the family, who was deported because he checked in as he was supposed to under the conditions of his stay of deportation. This is wrong. People need to stay together. America is stronger. And before I joined CARE, by the way, I was, or I still am, an attorney that does a lot of economic development type thing. Well, guess what? You want to talk about money? It's called the Trump slump. It's called the reluctance of foreign investors to invest money in the United States. Tourism has been down. Florida should care about these things. So if it's not the heart, it should be the wallet that we need to appeal to. And we all need to stand together and appeal to the better of ourselves and of our lawmakers and say, this is wrong and it has to stop. Thank you.
Well, that was Norma Henning. She's a German-American immigration lawyer. She works for CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations in Florida. And I want to hear what you think about these speeches that I'm playing. Maybe these are the first time you're hearing them. And if so, I'd like to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Or maybe you were at one of the rallies. Were you in Gulfport or in Tampa or in Spring Hill or Dade City or maybe one of the other rallies that we haven't mentioned yet? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. I especially like to hear from people who have immigration in their background. I think that's almost all of us, right? And or if I'd like to hear from women or people of color, give me a call, 813-239-9663. In the news today, you may have heard this story. I'm going to read it again, a short version of this story about a Guatemalan woman who has been reunited with her 7-year-old daughter. She was separated at the U.S. border nearly 2 months ago. Her name is Buenaventura Martin Godinez. She held her daughter, Jane, at a Miami airport yesterday during a reunion she had, and she had feared that reunion would have never happened. The family was caught by the Border Patrol. Her husband awaits almost certain deportation in Atlanta. Martine was held for a week with her baby in detention facilities. Her daughter was placed in the custody of Michigan officials. So that's one family that people have been following regarding the story about immigration and family separation. What are your thoughts about family separation and the President Trump's administration's policy of separating families at the border? And I know it happened before President Trump, but they've cracked down on it. It's become to light a lot more in the last few months. What are your thoughts? 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Here in Florida, in South Florida, in Miami-Dade County, the officials there want to be prepared for hurricane season because last year, immigration officials said they would not conduct sweeps at hurricane shelters. But in the uncertain political climate that's going on right now, Miami-Dade officials now say they want to be prepared. They're training workers to turn immigration officials away if they show up because they're concerned that during a hurricane that either people won't evacuate because they're nervous about being turned into immigration authorities, or that during a hurricane when people are at the facilities that the ICE would show up and try to detain people. What do you think about that? 813-239-9663 or dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. It's 12:23 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. So far, we've played a couple of clips from Tampa's rally for Families Belong Together that happened last Saturday. There were also others in the area. There was one in Dade City, one in Spring Hill, one in Gulfport. And we're going to hear in a few minutes a short clip from Gulfport. And this is Pinellas School Board Chair Renee Flowers. She was speaking at a rally in Gulfport, and it was a passionate speech. I'm going to play just about a minute and a half of it, and I want to hear your thoughts about this Pinellas County School Board member, Renee Flowers, and what she has to say. Here she is. She's starting with talking about Melania Trump. Pinellas County School Board member. She's the chair of the school board, Renee Flowers, speaking at a rally in Gulfport on Saturday. She was talking about the arrests on Friday in Washington, D.C. of people occupying the Senate one of the Senate office buildings there in Washington, D.C. She also criticized Melania Trump, and she suggested that people get out and vote. What are your thoughts about that? Were you at the Gulfport rally, and what do you think about a school board member talking that forcefully about an issue that affects mostly immigrants, but I guess affects all of us. Here's the number to call, 813-239-9663. You can also text 813-433-0885, or you can email dj@wmnf.org. I have a text from the 352 area code. We're going to go to the phone in just a second, but here's a text, someone who was afraid to sign their name, from the 352 area code says, are you unaware, that President Trump has signed an executive order demanding the reunification of separated border families? Or are you omitting it intentionally like a dutiful fake news monger? I'm aware of that, and we're going to see how that policy plays out. Does that mean that they're going to be, if one of the people that has been detained at the border, does that mean that the family is going to be in jail? All in jail together as they're being detained. We don't know how that's going to play out, but thanks for reminding us that I'm sure most of our listeners know that President Trump has signed an executive order demanding the reunification of separated border families. Doesn't seem to have deterred these rallies from going on. 700 across the country, at least 4 in our listening area. If you were at one of them, let us know what you thought and how the Trump's executive order affected whether you were going to go or not. All right, let's hear from Donna. Donna, what's going on? What would you like to say?
There's so much to say. I know that he signed that order, but does that person realize that they have deported some parents and they can't find them? So now they have children with no parents to reunite them with. They're traumatizing children so that they're bringing up a generation. They want to stop terrorism and protect us. They're going to hate authority and hate our government and hate Americans because they're going to be traumatized when you take 4- and 5-year-olds away. And then I heard that they were marching them through an airport all wearing the same colored hoodies, these children, like kids on a field trip, but it's not a fun field trip, and they were told not to talk to anybody. I mean, I feel like I'm living in Gilead. I'm watching that Handmaid's Tale where you're taking children away, you're marching them in groups and telling them to be quiet and not to talk to anyone and putting them in basically uniforms. I mean, I'm just so scared by everything that's going on. It's incredible.
All right, Donna.
I marched in Gulfport. I've been marching since 2016. I never had to be so politically active before.
So what else happened at the Gulfport rally besides we played a short clip of this Renee Flowers talk speech? What else would you say about Gulfport? It was raining, and so they moved people inside.
Well, I stayed outside for a lot of it, but my husband listened to most of the speeches because I wanted the public to see that there were people out there and people that were outraged and people that were willing to stand in the rain to try to fix something in this country. It just seems everything's going wrong. And to use children as pawns to try to get billions of dollars for a wall that's useless and a waste of our money. The other thing that scares me is they're pulling all these ICE people away to do family for asylum and spending all our taxpayer dollars putting up tent camps and hiring all these people that the drug dealers and the real criminals are like laughing because they're distracted by all the families, the honest people trying to seek a better life.
All right, Don, I'm going to move on. Be safe driving out there. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. Do you disagree with Donna? Do you disagree with the speakers that we've been hearing, or do you agree? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. Let's hear from Tracy in St. Petersburg. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I was at the Tampa rally, and It was a wonderful experience. We actually got rained out. There was thunder and lightning, but still, even until they announced that they were closing, and still people were standing out there and the thunder and lightning, listening to the speakers. I wish it had gone a little bit longer. I would like to comment on the first person who texted you. Yes, sir or madam, we are all aware that Donald Trump has signed executive order banning to reunite these children. We're also aware that it was his policy that separated them in the first place. And we're also aware that he's a big liar. And just because he says he's going to do something doesn't mean he's going to do it. There's no indication that his administration has been doing anything to track these children, to make sure that they can reunite them with their parents. It's as if they didn't even care. It's like they meant to separate the children from their parents forever. There was no plan in place. So you can inform that person who is accusing you of being fake news, which, of course, you are not. You're one of the only real news around. But, yeah, we're all aware of it, but we don't trust this president or her president, and we don't believe in him, and that's why we're out in the streets rallying and protesting and making our voices heard.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for that report. I appreciate you calling in.
Right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. And if you'd like to call in, 813-239-9663. We've got several people on the line, but we might have an open line now. And do have some emails to catch up with as well. But give me a call at 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. It's 12:32 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa. We're also streaming live on wmnf.org and on the WMNF smartphone app. And let's see. Why don't we try one more phone call at least before we go back to some more sound? Let's hear from Woodrow in Tampa. Hi, Woodrow.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for the time. I had a conversation this weekend with some folks that were well into their 60s, and I had to remind them of the hospitality and the charity that the United States has given refugees from Vietnam after the Vietnam War, Bosnian Serbians after the Yugoslavian Civil War, Haitians, and why all of a sudden would we prohibit legitimate war refugees? These Central American countries are some of the most violent and dangerous parts of the world.
Can I pause you for just a second and think about how awful our country has become since we let in all those Vietnamese refugees, right? And all the other...
These are highly productive. And then ultimately the Cubans who come... And certainly in Florida, and have established their family, love their native country, but are as assimilated and as American as you or I. And yet the elder class wants, or the elder generation wants to somehow feel that this is an invasion. So using the word refugee somehow has become a pejorative in the Trump lexicon. And then he models it after using terms like infest. And this is very troubling for a guy that's democratic and a guy that believes in the ideals of our country. It certainly doesn't mean open borders, but our hospitality and the generosity of the American people is what I would point to history and tell our friends that believe that refugees should not have a place in our country. It is an American thing that we all can do is to help those that need help. So thanks again for your time. Enjoy the show.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Woodrow. And I hope people understood I was being sarcastic there. 813-239-9663. We have a text message here from the 813 area code. And it says, Donna made some... This person does not leave their name either. It says, Donna... Darn it. Let me open this up. Donna made some great points, especially about distraction. What is dishonest Donald's administration doing behind the scenes while we're paying attention to the human rights abuses he's trying to pretend is the Dems' fault? Stacking the courts with corporate conservatives, for one thing. So that's from the 813. Leave your name, guys. Or gals, or whatever. What's wrong with leaving your name? So that's from Anonymous, unfortunately, in 813, unwilling to leave their name. Here's another 813 from Chris in Tampa. I think your party, Democrats, are going to march your bleep out of power. I think your party, Dems, are going to march your bleep out of power. I guess that means that... Sorry, Chris, I'm not reading that well. I can't tell what you're trying to say there, but that's what his whole or her whole message is from Chris in Tampa. Thank you for that text there. 813-239-9663, or you can email us at dj@wmnf.org and text 813-433-0885. All right, let's hear from Peter in Plant City. Hi, Peter. Were there any rallies in Plant City?
Surprisingly, no. With a very large Hispanic population, you would have thought maybe we had some people, but no, we didn't. I wanted to call in mostly because I'm hearing a lot of upset, you know, emotions going on, not really hearing what the solutions are. I work as an elementary school teacher. I can tell you right now, I could not imagine having to take even two or three more students who don't speak English. That is one, just one little way in which, you know, this does affect everyone else. Not only does it affect the school, it affects the other kids in the school who then don't have the resources because they're going to teach kids English. It just seems like there's a lot of emotional rhetoric and not really much in the way of an actual solution being offered here.
Are you still there? Yeah, you're still there.
Yeah.
Okay, so fair point. Right, there are more people coming in. There are more resources that are needed. But, I mean, solutions to that, like providing more teachers and providing, you know, smaller classes and more learning opportunities?
Well, then that would mean building new schools. See, the thing is around 500 kids come in from the southern border a day. That's a new elementary school a day.
In a country of 320 million people.
Yeah, that's a good point. But what I'm trying to say is it's not like North Dakota is taking some, Maine is taking some. This is heavily concentrated in specific areas. It really, really does affect, just on one level, just elementary education. You know, and again, I'm not really hearing solutions as to what we should do. You know, something else, hearing about, oh, it's a misdemeanor. So is a DUI. If you got a DUI and you had a kid in the car with you, should that person's child be taken from them? We have people in this country whose kids are taken for trying to give them medicine. It's not approved in their state. We have people who get their kids taken because they don't want to go through the vaccine schedule, you know, on schedule exactly as it's mandated. So, you know, where are the rights for American citizens is what I want to know. People seem much more concerned about people, you know, who admittedly they're coming from a really tough situation, but bringing them here does not improve our situation at all.
All right. Well, thank you for that opinion. I appreciate that you called in and let us know. Thank you for that. Do you agree with Peter? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. You know, your lives haven't been improved by people who are crossing the border, is what Peter is saying, and maybe that's the case. Give us a call, 813-239-9663 if you agree. Email dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. You're listening to Midpoint on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I have some emails to read, but let me, and some more sound to play as well. So stay tuned for that. But I do want to, let's hear some more from some more callers. Hi, Manuel in Tampa.
Oh. And receiving my call, your program is incredible. I'm an immigrant. I got here legally. I'm a business owner. I have created my own business here. I pay taxes. I have hired Anglo-Saxon people to help in my business.
What kind of business?
I'm in photography. And I was successful. We come over here to succeed, to have a better life. We're here for our families. We love our families. We are working people. We don't come here to, like they say, commit crimes. And I'm very proud to be an American. And this is a dream come true. When I come here, they accept me well. And I've done really good. And I'm sorry that there's this misinformation about immigrants. They have contributed immensely to this, the wealth of this country.
Well, what about the caller who said, you know, there's going to be a couple of more people maybe in a school in Plant City, and that makes it tougher to educate the whole school? What are your thoughts there?
My wife is a teacher, and she is a bilingual teacher, and I don't think that makes no sense. We're going to have a population of children in this country, regardless of the nationality. And the population is growing, and if they need schools, it's not only because they're immigrants, it's because of the rise of the families, you know. So a lot of people move from other countries. They don't question people coming from Europe, from the rich countries in the Middle East or other places. And they don't question them because of the color of their skin. Russians are here, and they take advantage of our system, too. And they come illegally. Who questioned these people? Who has anything about the way they come in, with the money they bring in, and brave everybody so they can stay? We come over here, we work hard, we are successful in what we do, and we're happy. And so let us be. We help you here, guys. So let's continue this.
Manuel, thank you for that call. Appreciate that perspective. 813-239-9663. If you'd like to call in, we got an email from Wendy Schultz. She emailed it, dj@wmnf.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. Wendy from Seminole. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to read your last name, Wendy. I was there for Ms. Flowers' speech. That woman has speaking skills. Great to see so many people in such wet weather, it says Wendy in Seminole. So that was someone who went to the Gulfport rally on Saturday and wanted to write in about it. Also, Adam is writing, make sure that you're giving out correct information. Trump did not sign an executive order about reuniting families. It's to stop separation of families due to his own policy, but it says nothing about reunification. There are still 2,000 kids. They don't have a plan on how to reunite with their parents. So, Adam, you're right about that they don't necessarily have a plan, or at least they haven't told us about it. But I think that the policy itself actually does say, here's the timetable for reunification. Now, point taken about the fact that it may or may not pan out to work. You know, they might have the problem to work. Adam goes on to say the solution to that teacher's problem lies in the legislature. If they decided that education was important and started funding public schools, we wouldn't have this issue. It's not that we don't have the money. They just push it toward for-profit charter schools. Instead of being upset at the children fleeing, he should be upset at his representatives in the Florida legislature. So that's Adam's email out there. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885, or if you'd like people to hear your voice, give us a call at 813-239-9663. We're talking about the rallies on Saturday. Were you at the one in Gulfport or in Tampa or in, there were two in north of our area. There was one in Spring Hill, one in Dade City, at least. If there's some that I haven't heard from, give us a call. 813-239-9663. Molly, in Tampa, you're on the air. What would you like to say?
Hello?
You're on the air, Molly.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I didn't hear my name. I didn't know it was me. I thought that the teacher's call was very interesting, and I think that's the crux. He hit on the problem that most people have with people that cross illegally. And I would like to just hear more about that. Is that why are they crossing illegally? Why aren't they going to their consulates and their embassies like the Europeans do to immigrate to the country? And you know, I mean, you're putting yourself and your family at risk when you cross in between the border check-in points. And that's where, if my understanding is correct, that's where the biggest problem is are these folks that are coming over that way and through our borders that way. So I think, you know, are they afraid to come through legally? Is that the problem? And I agree with the teacher when he said that, you know, it's Arizona, California, Florida. We're the states that have to absorb the cost of all this. And so if you have children in the public school system, your children suffer because we're trying to help these other families that are coming in illegally. And it's interesting, the rhetoric is like, well, yes, you should help us. You should help us. Well, gosh, you know what? We work really, really hard. My husband and I do, and our feet are firmly planted in the middle class. We don't have a lot of extra to do that. And to just say, well, the legislature should do this or the government should do that. We are the government. The government takes our money for our taxes. So, you know, you can argue it either way, but the bottom line is that we have to fund all the programs. If you look at Hillsborough County, where Plant City is, we're the eighth largest school district in the country, okay? Every child they give every child a free breakfast because we have so many kids who are not fed at home. That's a huge, we're spending our money feeding kids rather than educating kids. There's just so many tangential discussions that happen. And it would just be great if people could, you know, I mean, yes, it's horrible for kids to be separated from their parents. That should never happen. As a parent, I don't know that I would ever put myself in that situation where I had a two-year-old pulled from me. I don't know that that would be worth it. Is it worth it? And I don't think we're hearing from these parents. You know, is it worth it for them to have been separated? Would they do it all over again? Or do they just, you know, I would love to hear that other side. That other part of the discussion.
We've had some interviews, and when I say we, I'm talking about the station in general. So a lot of it's from Democracy Now, for example, when some of it we hear on NPR. But we have heard in the last several weeks the voices of parents whose children have been taken from them. So I encourage you to listen to those stories. Also, to one of your earlier points about, you know, people going to an embassy or a consulate rather and doing immigration. A lot of the people that we're referring to here are not people who are just deciding they just want to emigrate from where they live into the United States. It's a lot of them are people who are fleeing as refugees. And you had talked about people doing crossings in between border crossings. Well, that happens, and I don't know what the ratio is of how many people cross unofficial, you know, in between border crossings as opposed to at border crossings, but we have definitely heard stories in the last few weeks of people seeking refugee status, which is completely legal and completely doing something the exact way you should do it at an official border crossing and still being turned away or still be having their families separated. So these are people who are going through the exact process that you're asking them that they should be going through, and they're doing that and they're still having their families ripped from them. So I'm just pointing that up.
So I understand that, but why aren't we doing more work at our embassies and our consulates then? Why aren't we, you know, making sure that we can handle these folks at these border crossings? You know, for them to assume that they can just come is
an assumption that's guaranteed to them under U.S. and international law. And when you say, why aren't we doing enough at the border?
That we have to allow them
refugee
to come into our country. Well, yes, as a refugee, correct.
I want to answer one thing that you just talked about, because you, okay. And I hate to interrupt you, but I do want
to
answer something that you said. why don't we make sure that we're doing enough at the border? Well, that was suggested, and it was suggested that there's so many people that need to have legal proceedings to have their cases heard that more judges would be needed. And the president said, no, that's crazy talk. We're not going to send more judges. Or, you know, I'm of course paraphrasing, but he kind of mocked that idea that they would send more judges to these to hear these cases.
So if we don't fund judges, then our municipalities have to absorb this. Our school districts have to absorb this. I mean, we're paying now for an armed person in all of our schools in Florida. You know, I mean, it's just, how do we absorb it? That's really, I think, what most people are worried about. I'm not worried about crime. I'm not worried about, you know, although I do think there needs to be a sufficient background check of every single person who does want refugee status. That's how it is if we go anywhere, you know, or other people. That's how it is when you claim refugee status. There has to be some kind of background check. You can't just say yes, okay, you know. And you know, I know we hear these stories about the violence that people are escaping, but there's also, there is chain migration that happens, and we can't just say that no, it doesn't happen. Yeah, and everybody wants the best life for their family, but gosh, at what expense? So, you know, and they're saying, oh, there's plenty of people in the United States, but if the people in the United States aren't willing to support it, then do we still allow it to happen?
Molly, appreciate your call. Thanks so much. I'm glad we got to chat for such a long time. Please call back. Thank you for calling in. The number to call is 813-239-9663, 12:50 in the afternoon. My name is Sean Canaan. You're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. All right, well, let's go back to the phones. I want to see who's been hanging on for a long time. Oh, wow. John in Port Richey, you've been very patient. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad you pointed out the difference between the legal and the illegal, because everybody keeps saying these people are illegal. And I think you're right. The majority of them are coming over here in accordance with international law and U.S. law and asking for asylum. I'm just not sure if it has to be at a point of legal entry or if they can just cross anywhere and ask for asylum. But you're right. And most of these people are saying illegal when they should not be saying that. And I think that's being pushed by the conservative pundits on the right. And you made and the guy that asked you for a solution to the problem, you're right, build more schools. Florida should have done that a long time ago when they passed the class size amendment, but they didn't do that. And it's like, oh my, and like the lady was saying, yes, the taxpayers have to fund this. So, you know, we raise taxes slightly, especially on those making lots of money, which would be nice, so we can help those people that are in trouble. And I, like you said, I've heard Amy Goodman talk about some of these people where they've come and threatened the mother that they will kill their child if they will not do what they want. That's what these people are fleeing. You just can't go to your council and go, yeah, I want to apply for immigration to the United States, and that's going to take 4 or 5 years to do that while you're being threatened by these gang members. It just doesn't work that way. But I really wanted to call about the guy that sent the anonymous text that said that Trump signed this agreement to stop the separation of children. Yes, I've heard that on this station. You may not have brought it up. So when he called you guys fake news because you won't bring it up, I disagree with that because I did hear that. But I also heard something else, too, that you probably won't hear on the Fox channel or from the conservative pundits, that he also said he's going to violate, I forget which law it is, that states that the children have to be let out of custody within a certain number of days. I think the one judge out in California said 14 days, but I think it was named after a Japanese person. So I'm sure you won't hear that on Fox or the conservative pundits, that Trump said that he's going to violate the law by not releasing the parents and the children together.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think that they did something. They did a quick fix, and they were not exactly sure how it's going to pan out. And
well, I heard he said that he wanted. He said, "Sure, I'll put them together, but we're going to detain them indefinitely," which is a clear violation of our federal law.
Yeah, if that happens, that would be right.
You guys aren't fake news because you will tell me both sides of the story. Where Fox and the conservatives, they only give you half of the story, and the half that they give you is with a spin that they want to make. So if I was going to call anything, well, I wouldn't even call the pundits fake news because their opinion.
Hey, John, I'm going to move on because we have lots of people. Whoa. Wasn't supposed to be that abruptly. All right. Thanks, John, for that call. Let's hear from Russell in Tampa. Hi, Russell.
Hey there. Just a quick comment. I continue to be amazed at the ineptitude of the Democrats politically. And let me offer a suggestion to your station. I listen to your station a lot. I cannot recall you ever having a guest on who walked us through the legal immigration process. Never heard anybody do that.
Oh, my gosh. That happens a couple times a year, at least, I would say.
Okay. And you know what happens about 500 times a year? You have lunatics shouting into microphones at rallies. You know, so what's happening here is the megaphone from the left is focused on 2,000 children disconnected from their family for breaking the law and not following procedures. Meanwhile, there have been, and I'm married to one, millions and millions and millions of immigrants who have successfully and legally immigrated to this country. And you rarely, if ever, have one of them on to say, Here's how it works. And what I've never, and I'll leave you with this, I've never heard, never, seriously, never on your station have I heard somebody call in who's a Democrat and say, I am for legal immigration. I know what they're against.
I mean, you must not listen very often. That's all I can say.
Well, if you are for it, then please educate your listeners as to what is involved, and maybe they won't be so terrified of the process of legal immigration. My wife went through it.
I really think you're mixing things, because no one here has said that legal immigration is a bad thing. But I think what I have heard during this program, and I've been listening, is that some people are saying that there are situations in the world that are so terrible that people don't have the luxury of applying for a process. They drop what they have, they grab their kids, and they effing flee the country. I'm sorry, that's just like that's what we're referring to.
Anecdotally, that is true, but the statistics do not support, quote, most of them being in that situation. And furthermore, 80% of the asylum applicants are denied asylum because they don't meet the criteria. So we can't just have anybody who says, I'm coming from a country where things are unstable, say, I want to come to the United States, let me in. We would literally have a billion people at our borders if that were the standard.
All right, so it sounds like what you're describing is a system. We have a system, and the system generally works, and we're letting the system play out. And you don't have to take, there doesn't have to be drastic things like walls and people ripping kids from families' arms. I mean, those things don't have to happen because
they don't have to happen. Nor does the media coverage have to be 99% about that. We need to be counseling people on what the legal immigration process is, how that works, and so that people are encouraged to go do that.
All right. You made your point, Russell. I appreciate that. You did make your point. And we have talked about it, and we will talk about it in the future. Thank you for suggesting that we do it some more. Let's see if we can squeeze Sarah from Bradenton in. Hi, Sarah. What would you like to say?
Hi. I just had a quick comment. Basically, I don't know. I just kind of think that a lot of people, a couple of the people that have called in that have said things about, you know, making sure that it is legal immigration. How lucky are those people to have the luxury to never be in a situation where, God forbid, they need to flee from a terrible situation? And having two children of my own, to think that my only way to make my children safe is to flee, and then to have them taken from me would just be devastating. And I would never, ever think that any parent would do anything to harm their children, because as parents, we do what is best for our children. And then also to speak to the educational system, I think it definitely starts from the ground up, and I think that there's a lot of things that are messed up already with our educational system, and that it doesn't really have to do so much with who's coming here and who's not. It starts from the community, you know.
Hey, Sarah, let me ask you this, and it's quickly because we're about to end the show, but have you heard that undertone that these people were just like irresponsible parents? They just decided to trek through the desert and face, you know, criminal gangs and coyotes and the U.S. border just to have their kids ripped from them because they're irresponsible parents. Is that the undertone that you're getting from some of these comments?
That's the undertone I definitely am hearing. And I just feel like, as a parent myself, you know, decide on what I'm going to make my children for breakfast in the morning with more thought than, you know, probably most people. What parent's going to be like, hey, let's go trek through the desert? That
None,
sounds like
right?
a fun adventure.
None, I think, is the answer. Sarah, thank you for that. I appreciate the call. Thanks to everyone who called, emailed, and texted today. If you're still on hold, Raina and Richard, I apologize. Or if you'd like to leave a voicemail with your thoughts, give me a call at 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message next show. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news or on Facebook or Twitter at WMNF News. I want to thank our reporter, Yvonne Goujoulet, for the sound. And I want to thank engineer Alvaro Montealegre and phone answerer Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for John Gilmore. He's in executive session. That's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota. Thank you to everyone who donated during June. And if you have not yet contributed, I'd like you to make your donation at WMNF.org. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to everyone who donated. Thanks for listening to WMNF Tampa. This is Midpoint.